The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
Fine Music Radio.
Book Choice. Publisher's Choice with Paige Nick.
Hello, my name is Paige Nick. I am the host of the show, which is Book Choice, which comes on to Fine Music Radio every second Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. And our show is sponsored by this country's favorite bookstore, Exclusive Books. So, as I said, my name is Paige Nick, and what can I tell you about myself, other than the fact that I'm here every second week? So if you're a regular listener to the show, you might recognize my voice. I am an author. I have a new novel out. It's called Book People. It came out this year. It's a comedy about a bunch of book lovers who lose the plot, literally. And I'm also a freelance advertising copywriter. And I started a book club on Facebook, which is called the Good Book Appreciation Society. And that has 24,000 members. So it's a very busy book space that I get very excited about going on to chat about books. And those are just some of the things that I do. But most importantly, I'm here as a massive book lover. I love to write them. I love to buy them, read them. I love to pile them up all over my house for everyone to trip over. And of course, I love to talk about them as much as I possibly can to anyone else who loves books too. So I'm very glad to have you here on the end of the radio so we can chat about books. Today on the show, we welcome three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's number one bookseller to tell us about their end of year recommended reads, because it is the 9th of December and there are just a few weeks left till Christmas. Which is a great gifting season for books, as anyone knows, or for book vouchers from your local Exclusive Books. And then that delicious moment between Christmas and New Year, we get gifted a handful of lovely days where hopefully we can all get to read and restore and bring ourselves back to ourselves so that we're ready for, yes, I'm going to say it, 2026. It's a little terrifying, isn't it? So today on the show, we've got some very cool segments. We'll start with the Jonathan Ball Publishing team, who've joined us en masse this week, and they're going to tell us what they're looking forward to in reading in their summer holidays. Then Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House is here. He's going to chat about the reads he's looking forward to. After that, we'll move on to the Pan Macmillan team with the most gorgeous lineup of kids' books that you'll hear about this year. And they're also bringing us an author interview with none other than the very best-selling Yako Jacobs. And he's so charming. And we'll end off with our Exclusive Books insert. And we have, this is a big one, we have none other than Mandy Wiener. The Mandy Wiener is here in the studio, and she's going to be talking to Vanessa Levenstein on behalf of Exclusive Books about her already best-selling new book, which is called The Deal. So, on with the show. All the books that you're going to hear about on today's show are, of course, available at your Exclusive Books. But first, some very fine music. This is Your Song by Avril Kinsey. And then we'll be back with the books.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Book Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. I've told you a little bit about myself. First up, our very first segment on today's show, I am so thrilled to welcome the Jonathan Ball team. They've joined us en masse. I think they came before their annual Christmas party, and they've each of them from the sales and marketing team have come to tell us what they recommend most, the book that they love the most this year, and the book that they're most looking forward to reading when they get a little bit of downtime this summer. Welcome to the show, to the whole Jonathan Ball team, and to Shakti, who's going to introduce everyone and set us off.
Hello to you lovely listeners of Fine Music Radio, and thank you, Paige, for that lovely introduction. This is Shakti, back from Jonathan Ball Publishers. Can you believe that it's December? Where has the year gone? Festive season is upon us, and a much-needed rest and holiday is right in sight. Here at Jonathan Ball, we're super excited about our holiday releases. From heavy-hitting memoirs to on-the-edge-of-your-seat thrillers, highly anticipated book club reads, and some spicy romance is on the agenda. December marks family time, but it also marks travel, slowing down, and taking stock of the year behind us. This month, we're passing the mic to our infamous marketing team, the team behind our social media, read-alongs, the incredible point-of-sale scene in bookstores, the masterminds behind the Calabasas Comic-Con pop-up, but mostly the fun committee that keeps us all going. Here they are, Sandy, Kelly, Melanie, Keo, Clonie, and Shantae, giving us a glimpse into their favorite reads of 2025 and which book they can't wait to get their hands on this festive season.
Hi, I'm Sandy Chabalala, and I'm the social media coordinator at Jonathan Ball Publishers. For this festive season, the book that I cannot stop thinking about getting is Son of the Morning by Akweke Emezim. It's a steamy, supernatural romance set in the Black South, and it follows Galilee, a woman who has something ancient tugging at her bones. And she meets a man who definitely isn't all human, but maybe neither is she. Their attraction is dangerous, and it's described as something bold and magical. This author always comes up with something different, isn't restricted by genres, and I can't wait to get into this new read. Some of my favorite reads of the year were Coast Daughters by Oyinkan Braithwaite, a darkly funny, sharply written story about sisterhood, secrets, and the kind of family drama that kept me glued to the page. And another one was Can't Get Enough by Kennedy Ryan, which was a beautiful, emotional, very grown-up romance, and it just hit hard. It was full of tenderness, healing, and so much chemistry between the main characters, I felt it in my chest. Both of these books were brilliant and were both unforgettable. Thanks for listening and happy reading.
Hi, my name is Kelly and I'm the marketing coordinator at Jonathan Ball Publishers. With the festive season coming up, one of the books I'm really excited about is F1 Insider by Ted Kravitz. Ted is one of the most recognizable voices in Formula One, and in this book, he takes you right into the pit lane with all the behind-the-scenes moments, sharp insights, and fascinating stories he's gathered over more than two decades in the paddock. It's fun, informative, and honestly the perfect gift for any F1 fan this Christmas. I'm also really looking forward to Driven by Susie Wolf. It's an inspiring and incredibly honest look at Susie's journey from her early days in a go-kart to becoming one of the most respected leaders in motorsport. She talks openly about ambition, resilience, motherhood, and her work with the F1 Academy. It's empowering, heartfelt, and such a standout read for the holidays. My favorite book of the year definitely has to go to Damn Good Food by Femmes. I've been following her for many years and have watched her content on social media, following along with the recipes. So I'm genuinely excited to finally have a cookbook from her. In Damn Good Food, Femmes explores onto the cookbook scenes with recipes that are as bold, vibrant, and as full of a personality as she is. The photography is stunning and is such a must-have, whether you're a beginner in the kitchen or a confident home cook. I hope these picks add something special to your holiday reading list and that you add them to your TBRs. Bye.
Mulweni, I hope you guys are good. My name is Shanipile Mzangwa, and I work between marketing and publicity at Jonathan Ball Publishers. There's quite a number of incredible books that are published by Jonathan Ball Publishers in 2025. And two of them that are coming out in November/December that I am looking forward to. Firstly, we have Malala Yousafzai's Finding My Way. This is a candid memoir in which she reveals her messy human journey from her traumas and sudden fame. It also explores friendship, love, and self-discovery as she learns to define herself on her own terms. If you are a nonfiction reader, I think this is something to look forward to. And secondly, we have Son of a Morning by Akwekwe Emezi. This is a romance book that has a lot of magic and fantasy, and it follows a story of Galil Kincaid, who is raised by a powerful matriarchal clan. So she discovers she is something other than human when she meets Lucifer Halel, whose dangerous attraction to her threatens the balance between heaven, hell, and earth. As ancient secrets collide with demonic loyalties, Galil is caught in a moment where she must choose whether to embrace her true identity and the world-shaking power that comes with it. If you have read any of Akwekwe's work, you will know that she's very moving with her words. And one book that sums up my entire 2025 reading year is none other than Fabrics of Love by Lebo Mazibugo, which is also published by Jonathan Ball Publishers. This is a family saga that is told through the lens of a third generation of women who surround Lemohang Ndoyi, who is the head of the Ndoyi family. It is set in Dofaya, Soweto, and reading this book literally felt like watching Yizo Yizo. This book explores the lives of these women and their attempt at healing past traumas while they pursue their dreams. Fabrics of Love navigates issues around culture, legacy, and marriage. And if you haven't read this book, please do yourself a favor. Go grab a copy at your nearest store.
Hi, my name is Melanie, and I am the social media coordinator at Jonathan Ball Publishers for all locally published titles. Thank Dion Mayer, Rudy van Rensburg, Navashnine Sukdev, and many more. I'm so excited to tell you about the two titles I'm hoping to find underneath my Christmas tree this season. These titles are Empire of the Dawn by Jay Kristoff and Workhorse by Carolyn Palmer. Let me tell you a little bit more about each one. Empire of the Dawn is the epic conclusion to the Empire of the Vampire series. The author, Jay Kristoff, is well loved due to his previous series, The Never Night Chronicles. Empire of the Vampire, the first book in the series, follows Gabriel de Leon, a half-man, half-monster, and the last remaining Silver Saint. A Silver Saint is a sworn brother of the Holy Silver Order, dedicated to defending the realm from the creatures of the night, otherwise known as vampires. In the first book, Gabriel is imprisoned by the very monsters he has vowed to destroy, and is forced to tell his story. A story of legendary battles and forbidden love, of faith lost and friendships won, of the War of the Blood and the Forever King, and the quest for humanity's last remaining hope, the Holy Grail. The story is accompanied by stunning art that will make you itch to put each one up. I am so excited to read the conclusion to this incredible story that I believe every fantasy lover will enjoy. The second book I'm hoping to find under my tree is Workhorse by Carolyn Palmer. The story and the cover are giving Emily from Devil Wears Prada. Workhorse is a darkly funny novel about envy, ambition, and New York media at its height. Set in 2001 New York City, we follow editorial assistant Chloe Harmon, who wants nothing more than to rise through the ranks of the world's most prestigious fashion magazine. There is just one problem. She doesn't have the right pedigree. And it seems like her fortunes will never change. Until Chloe meets Harry Wood. As wickedly funny as it is darkly unsettling, Workhorse is an astonishing story of envy and ambition set against the glamour and privilege of media and high society in New York at its height.
Hi, my name is Keo, and I'm a marketing coordinator for the Christian division at Jonathan Ball Publishers. The book I'm looking forward to this December is titled Finding God's Will for Your Life by Joyce Meyer. And the reason I've chosen this book is because I've had moments in my life where I've questioned what my purpose really is, and how do I even get to that place? And this book offers steps to trust God, seek Him, and trusting that He is directing my path. The book that captured me in 2025 is Healing the Mother Wound by Moshitari Lihlomela, because it helps women tap into self, helping to see whether we have mother wounds, how to tackle them, and most importantly, how to overcome them.
Hello, my name is Chante Duplessis, and I'm the Children's Marketing and Publicity Coordinator at Jonathan Ball Publishers. I'm super excited about the new David Walliams Christmas book called Santa and Son that released recently, because in the most famous toy shop in the world, a robbery is underway. The shop Santa and his son are locked inside with the baddies. Then, my favorite kids' book of the year is definitely Wieke se Wetenskapelijke Dagboek by local debut author Carla Klute. It is an hilarious story about a young boy who keeps a diary about all his experiments to determine why they always, always go terribly wrong. Both Santa and Son and Wieke se Wetenskapelijke Dagboek are appropriate for children of ages 9+.
That was the wonderful team from Jonathan Ball telling us what they are all very much looking forward to reading at the end of this year. One of the reviewers on the show, she said there that she felt the book in her chest, and that resonated so much with me. I love that. You know, when you're reading a book and you feel like the vibration of the book, you actually feel it in your chest. So those are the reads that I'm always looking for. And often when I'm reading a book, I'm a little bit into a book, and I get that feeling that it's resonating with me. And that's really what I look for. So my aim today is that there's a title somewhere in the show that you feel in your chest and that really resonates with you. So onwards. That was the Jonathan Ball team. You can find them all on social media, the Jonathan Ball team. Look them up on any social media that you're on. They talk about events. They give away tons of books, especially at this time of year. And I highly recommend you give them a follow. We're going to go into a track. This is Summertime by Buchanan. And when we come back, we're going to be welcoming Viz Chetty to the show with the Penguin Random House lineup. That was Summertime by Buchanan. You're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, on Fine Music Radio. Our show is sponsored by Exclusive Books, and any of these titles that you're going to hear about today are all available at your local Exclusive Books. Also, if you're struggling to decide on a gift for somebody for the festive season, Exclusive Books not only have a huge range of gifts, from mugs to reading glasses to bookmarks and interesting book lights, and they have so much cool stuff, jigsaw puzzles and diaries. I mean, there really is a gift for anyone in your life. And if you still can't find the perfect bookie gift for somebody, you cannot go wrong with a gift voucher from Exclusive Books. It is one of my favorite gifts to receive. I recently got a 300 Rand gift voucher, and I went into a store and I spent an hour and I looked through everything and I bought a book and I absolutely loved it. In fact, I'm going to tell you about it at the end of this show. So, a gift voucher, you can't go wrong. Welcome to the show, Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. I'm very much looking forward, Viz, to hearing about what you've been reading and what you can recommend to our listeners for their December reading lineup.
Thank you, Paige, and greetings, FMR listeners. This is indeed Viz Chetty from PRHSA. This is the last segment for the year, and I've got a great list for you. I was thinking about a lot of things coming up into this one, and I just wondered what sort of list am I going to put together, because we've mainly done everything that we need to do for the year in terms of our publishing schedule. But what I thought would be helpful is some holiday reading stuff, which I'm going to include in here, and also the very recent Booker Awards. So if you have followed the Man Booker Awards, you will see that David Soleil's Flesh has just won the award. We had four books in the shortlist. What I've done in this segment is I've decided to include those four in this, just to let you know about them. I think they're all fantastic reads. They are shortlisted, so you know they're of the highest quality. I think they put together a great list this year, even across the publishers. Our competitors or partners, as we call them, have great books out there. So I do realize that some of you have been stacking up those reads all year round, and those reading lists get bigger and bigger. But my hope in this one is to just narrow that down for you a little bit as we go into December and into the holidays. So if you have a list, I can narrow that down for you, which would make it much easier. I know I'm trying to still chase my Goodreads goal for the year, and I'm sure you are too. Okay, jumping in. The first book is obviously David Slay's Flesh, where that was the winner of this year's Man Booker Prize. And it said that Flesh came out of the author's desire for national duplicity. He says, I knew I wanted to write a book with a Hungarian end and an English end. So I was living very much between the two countries at the time. The judges described this novel, described it as a novel about class ascension and a man who is remarkably detached from his desires and a disquisition on the art of being alive. It is also an absolute page turner. I agree that it is an absolute page turner. It's a short book and you will just fly right through it. So the story is about a teenage young man named Isvan lives with his mother in a quiet apartment complex in Hungary. He's shy and he's new in town. He's a stranger to the sort of social rituals practiced by his classmates and is soon isolated, drawn instead into a series of events that leave him forever a stranger to peers, his mother, and himself. In the years that follow, Isvan is borne along by the goodwill or self-interest of strangers, charting a rocky yet upward trajectory that lands him further from his childhood and the defining events that abruptly ended it then than he could have possibly imagined. Lots of things happen in this novel. What I found was it's really interesting the way he's written it, where you would come across a certain character and you think that this character is a major character in the novel or will lead to something else. And it's sort of, that character sort of disappears a little bit, which is the point of it all. And I think that was in reference to our lives and how people sometimes just are transient, they come in and out. So it's a really, really good read. You should pick it up and should read it. Flesh by David Saleh. The next one of my personal favorites, I have covered it on an earlier segment this year, and I actually thought this was going to win, but I'm happy to be wrong. Kiran Desai, The Loneliness of Sonia and Sunny. If you haven't read it, it's a huge tome of a book, but I will tell you, it's a big book, but you fly right through it to the point where you don't really know how quickly you don't realize how quickly you've actually gone through it. It's a story of two young people whose fates intersect and diverge. And the story spans across continents and years. And it's sort of an epic love story, but there's also deep elements of family and displacement and the immigrant experience. So it's set across India and America. And it's a wonderful novel. It took her 20 years to get to this novel. She obviously won it for The Inheritance of Loss, which is a fantastic one. So Kiran Desai's Loneliness of Sonia and Sunny, you should read it. It's a wonderful, beautiful novel. The next one is by Susan Choi. That was the other shortlist title. It's called Flashlight. And it's another story that goes over time, nations, and memory. And she's the author of Trust Exercise. She's been nominated for quite a few things over her career. It starts off one summer night with a young girl named Louisa and her father take a walk on a beach. The father is carrying a flashlight. He tells her he can't swim and they have this conversation around that. And something very sudden happens. Louisa is found on the beach. She's soaked, but she's barely alive. Her father is gone. She's 10 years old and he's gone missing and never recovered. And there the story starts and it goes back into her family. She's obviously a child that's now come, it's a broken home, but she comes from a home that's of mixed race. So she's mixed. She has to deal with that. It's a wonderful, wonderful novel as well. Beautifully written, really beautifully written, as Susan Choi does. And you should look out for that one. So that's called Flashlight by Susan Choi. The next one is called Audition by Katie Kitamura. And this one is also a really short book, but it's fantastic. So two people meet for lunch in a Manhattan restaurant. She's an elegant, accomplished actress in rehearsals for an upcoming premiere. He's tall, young, attractive, but troubled young man, young enough to be a son. So the question is, who is he to her? And who is she to him? And what we find in this book, Audition, is two competing narratives as they sort of unspool and rewriting our understanding of the roles we play every day, partner, parent, creator, muse, and the truths that every performance masks, especially from those who think they know us best. So Audition by Katie Kitamura is a brilliant novel, like I said, both in terms of the prose, which is just great. And it reminds me a bit of Rachel Cusk, at her very best. And it's clever and it's also a bit unsettling in its construction, which is very deliberate. So pick up that one. I think that's fantastic. And then something that, came into our market and I think people have really got, picked it up, and I'm so glad that they did, because it's a very important book. It's a nonfiction book. Virginia Roberts Jeffrey, she's one of the accusers on the Epstein case. She was recently found she had committed suicide, but before she'd committed suicide, she had written a memoir. That book is called Nobody's Girl. People have been reading it in the country and all over the world as well. So I wouldn't miss that one if you're into that sort of memoir and something nonfiction. Nobody's Girl by Virginia Jeffrey. Right. And then I just wanted to quickly flag Langdon, number 6, Secret of Secret, Dan Brown. That was a new one that we released a few months ago. Don't miss it. It's a great read. It's typical Dan Brown. You can't go wrong with him. I think for the holidays, that one will be just great as well. Then the other one that I really loved this year was Arundhati Roy's Mother Mary Comes to Me. It's probably one of the better memoirs I've read this year. You should have read it by now. If not, you must pick it up. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you are a fan of Arundhati Roy, you should read this book as well, because she gives you so much insights into her life and into the books that she's written in the past, especially the ones that have won the Booker and won prizes. She gives you all the background. So Mother Mary Comes to Me, Arundhati Roy. Another great holiday read is Bill Bryson's Short History of Nearly Everything. We've got so many formats of this book. This one is 2.0, Short History of Nearly Everything, 2.0. It's a huge, huge addition to the book. So there's about, I want to say about 120 pages of extra stuff. New research is obviously, so much has changed in terms of science and technology. He's now updated it, fully updated, and it's got new chapters as well. So if you have read the original one, the original version of the book, I recommend read it. There's so much more in this one. It's a huge addition. And then the very last one is Margaret Atwood's Book of Lives. So it's her biography. It's wonderfully written by her. It's everything that you needed to know about Margaret Atwood, her very, very interesting life, how it unfolds, how she came to write The Handmaid's Tale in the 1980s when she was in Berlin, the year that spawned the book Cat's Eye, her marriage, the loss of her husband, major political turning points, and everything in between. So everything. She's now 83 years old and 86 years old, and she's had a really interesting life. So look out for that biography. That's out this month. So Book of Lives by Margaret Atwood, her long-awaited autobiography. And that's me, guys. That's the list I have for you for now. Happy reading in December. I will be back in the new year for our new stuff. What I'll do is, in the new year, I'll cover the first, say, 3 to 6 months and give you all the big highlights on the next one. So look out for that. So happy reading, have a great holiday, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much to Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House for joining us. You always have really great books, and I can always tell the ones that you really love. I can hear it in your voice how much you love to talk about these books as well. The Penguin Random House team are also on all the social medias. And as I said, same with Jonathan Ball, they've got tons of competitions. They also have amazing events, book launches. These are all free. You can go to a book launch at your local exclusive books, have a glass of wine, listen to somebody talking about a book, and it's a lovely way to spend a couple of hours. So a huge thank you, Viz, and thank you to the Penguin Random House. And now some very fine music. This is Swear, and it's by the Glenn Robertson Jazz Band.
When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway, like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more.
Welcome back. That was Sway by the Glenn Robertson Jazz Band, and you are tuned into Book Choice, a Publisher's Choice edition, right here on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. I am your host. I am a book person, big time. And I run book clubs, I read books, I write books, I do anything to do with books. But today, my big book thing is welcoming three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's number one bookseller, Exclusive Books, onto the show to tell us what they've got going on. Our next segment is the most charming thing you are ever going to hear. And I put my vote behind this big time. Helene Kutsir is here. She is from Pan Macmillan, and she is the publicist for their range of children's books. So this is a great time of year to buy children's books as gifts. They are full of fun, full of imagination, and a lot of the books that Helena is going to mention also come with a lot of activities. So it's a great way to keep your kids entertained, or your grandchildren, or your employees' kids, or their grandchildren. It's a great time of year to keep them entertained from a very long school holiday, what I think for parents can feel like a school holiday that never ever wants to end. So kids' books make great gifts. Welcome to the show, Helena Kutsir, and thank you for telling us about your delicious lineup of the cutest books ever.
Hello, readers and listeners. It's so nice to be back talking to you about Pan Macmillan's exciting books for children. As the holidays approach, you may be looking for the perfect gift for a young bookworm, or perhaps you just need a fun escape yourself. Well, today we're diving into two fabulous series that are topping the charts for young readers around the world. We're starting off with Pure Magic and Sparkle, transporting ourselves to a city where cars run on cotton candy syrup, and the main mode of transport is flying unicorns. I'm talking about the lovely Unicornia series by Anna Punsett. The stories are all set in the magical hidden city of Unicornia, which is described as the most wonderful place ever. Here, buses have wings and cars run on cotton candy, and the main character, Claudia, is a girl who has just moved there with her family and is starting at the Unicornia Academy of Magic to learn all about spells, potions, and how to fly a unicorn. In the first book, Unicornia Learning to Fly, we meet Claudia as she prepares for her first major challenge, a unicorn flying test. She's nervous, but with the help of her two new friends, Pippa and Sarah, she learns to overcome her fears and ride her unicorn Chai in record time. The second adventure is Unicornia, a Magical Birthday. It revolves around Pippa's birthday in Unicornia. While it starts off a little shaky, we're enchanted. Cakes and color-changing sweets are the norm. The friends have to quickly work together to turn a potential disaster into an amazing celebration. Next up is Unicornia, the Cupcake Contest. When the entire kingdom starts baking for the contest, Claudia and her friends jump in, discovering that Unicornia's baking ingredients are magical. It's an adventure packed with teamwork, bakes, and sparkle-dusted fun as they try to master magical baking. In the fourth book, Unicornia the Dance Show, the friends decide to create a special dance routine for the Unicornia talent show. With a stage set with singing flowers and cotton candy clouds, they have to practice hard to perfect their steps in time for the big day, dealing with a bit of stage fright along the way. The Unicornia series is also available as a box set with the first four books. So if you need a dose of adorable sparkle, Unicornia is your go-to. But now let's go from floating on rainbows to surfing the sewers. Because we're making a sharp turn to talk about one of the most wildly popular graphic novel series out there, The Investigators, of course, by John Patrick Green. If your reader loves silly puns, non-stop action, and a good mystery, then they already know and love the dynamic duo that is Mango and Brash. These guys are super spy alligators working for SUIT. That's the Special Undercover Investigation Teams, and they are famous for solving hilarious high-stakes crimes. The latest book, Investigators Case Files, is a truly fun interactive experience. This time, readers are given the GRID, the Gator Reasoning Inquiry Deduction System, and they become the co-investigator, helping Mango and Brash solve six brand new mysteries. It's packed with the same signature full-color comics and goofy hijinks, but with the added bonus of putting your own detective skills to the test. It's the perfect way to get a reluctant reader hooked on books. And finally, and most importantly, if I dare say, I've got an exciting local book for middle grade readers, and I've invited the author himself to introduce you to The Lightning Bird, which has just been released in English and Afrikaans. Over to you, Jaco Jacobs.
Hallo luisteraars, ek is Jaco Jacobs en my splinternuwe boek, Die Weerlig Voël, is nou beskikbaar. Nou, dit is 'n avontuurverhaal wat geskik is vir jong lesers van so 8 jaar en ouer. En hierdie boek lê my regtig baie na aan die hart, want ek dink dit is 'n soort storie wat ek self as 'n jong boekwurm sou verslind het. Kortliks, dit gaan oor 'n ouetjie met die naam Timo wat saam met sy oom by 'n skrootwerf woon waar die eienaar hulle baie sleg behandel. Nou Timo het van kleins af 'n baie ongewone en geheimsinnige talent. Hy kan met diere kommunikeer. Hy kan dit nie regtig verklaar nie, maar hy het byvoorbeeld 'n baba rot gered. En deesdae kan hy die rot allerhande toertjies laat doen. Nou op 'n dag beland Timo en sy troetelrot wat hy Lucky noem, per ongeluk in die koerant en in 'n oogwink verander hulle hele lewe. 'n Wêreldbekende multimiljonêre Timo se hulp nodig en hy en sy oom word saam na haar private eiland geneem waar sy 'n asemrowende geheim wegsteek. Ek dink dis 'n soort geheim wat aanhangers van wetenskapsfiksiefliek soos Jurassic Park gaan hoendervleis gee van lekker kry. Die storie is deur 'n paar dinge geïnspireer. Eerstens deur my kleintyd fascinasie met die isiZulu-legende van die weerligvoël of Mpundulu wat 'n rol in hierdie storie speel. Tweedens deur my voorliefde vir wetenskapsfiksie en derdens deur my navorsing oor uitgestorwe diere soos die dodo en die kwagga en die Tasmaanse tier en die trekduif. Ek is ongelooflik lief vir diere en vir die natuur en in die weerligvoël is daar oulike en fantastiese en gevaarlike diere waarop ek dink jy jou hart gaan verloor. The book is also available in English as The Lightning Bird and I think it's the perfect holiday reading adventure for youngsters. I really hope you enjoy reading this roller coaster adventure of a book as much as I enjoyed writing it.
Thanks, Jaco. And for those who don't understand Afrikaans, I urge you to remember the name Jaco Jacobs if ever you're looking to expand your vocabulary or enrich your child's library. A Jaco Jacobs book is the ideal book for that. Now, before I go, Paige, I know I said that was all, but I just need to tell you about Fidel's wonderful My Busy Books series. With these books, you can entertain your child in a wonderful, imaginative way because each book includes 10 figurines to tell the story themselves and a special board book, along with a playmat on which they can enact the story as you read or long after you've finished reading. My favorite in the series is, of course, Bluey. Everybody loves Bluey, and we all had an amazing time when Bluey came to the Artscape. Now you can have Bluey at home by ordering My Busy Books, the Bluey edition. There's also Peppa Pig, The Lion King, Disney Princesses, Winnie the Pooh, a whole variety. And that really is all I've got to tell you about today, Paige. As always, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for celebrating books. And thank you for letting me highlight some children's books for the festive season. I'm wishing every listener and reader a happy, merry, bookish time.
That was Helena Kutsia, and as well a surprise pop-up appearance from Jaco Jacobs, who is a much-loved South African children's book author. Welcome. Thank you so much for being on our show, Jaco. You're a dream. And that was just such a delightful list, don't you think? Hopefully it gave you an idea of a kid's book that you want to buy for your child, your children, your grandchildren, your friends' children, your nieces, your nephews, your godchildren. And you cannot go wrong with a kid's book. You know, it's so good for them and it's so good for you. And I must say, I enjoy reading a kid's book too. So no matter how old you are, we're all young enough to enjoy a kid's book. The Pan Macmillan team are also on social media, as with all their colleagues that we've been listening to. And I do recommend that you check them out. A song now, some very fine music. This is The Child in You by Tina Skoe.
I remember when I was a child, after spending the day running wild, I'd retire to my aunt's room I'd wear her jewelry and I'd smell her perfume. And I'd say, I wanna be grown up and big like you. I want to do the things that grown-ups do. I wanna wear lipstick and tease my hair. I paint my toenails red and make people stare. She'd say, slow it down, hear what I say. Your time will come to be a woman someday. Just treat yourself with more love and more care. Love the child you are inside. That's a dare. That's a dare. Now I'm big, I do the things that grown-ups do. I don't get chicken pox, I just get the flu. I spend my time running around all day. There's time for work, but there's no time for play. I am exhausted, Tina Stress is my name. But being an artist, it comes with a game. Dear Dr. Groom would say I'll stake some time out. He obviously doesn't know what my life's about. He says, slow down, hear what I say. You got to find time, there must be a way. Treat yourself with more love and more care. Love the child you are inside. That's a dare. That's a dare. Old William Shakespeare once put it this way. To thine own self be true as night follows day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Take heed of the picture, take heed of the plan. Look to yourself, in that there lies the key. Everything you are is what life can be. Love lives inside you, it's your shining sun. Open its doors and this love will reach everyone. Will reach everyone. This thing called life moves by so fast. Before you know it, it's gone in a blast. And just the other day, I nearly died when a drunken driver crashed into my side. Well, that got my attention. I was quite wild at the thought that I had nearly been retired. I made a promise to myself, I'll be nice, and I will heed the good doctor's advice. Slow it down, hear what I say. You got to find time, there must be a way. To treat yourself with more love and more care. Love the child you are inside. That's a dare. That's a dare. Look into yourself and that there lies the key. Look into yourself and that there lies the key. Look into yourself and that there lies the key.
And we're back. And you're still tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. I am Paige Nick. I am your host. And our show is sponsored by Exclusive Books, who are also involved in our very next and final segment. This is a big treat. Mandy Wiener joined us in the studio to chat to Vanessa Levenstein about her new book, which is called The Deal. As I said, it's a big deal. This book has involved an awful lot of work that Mandy's going to tell you about. In this book, The Deal, Mandy goes inside the talks that changed South Africa's future. I think she sent a lot of WhatsApps and a lot of emails to a lot of prominent politicians and deal makers, and I think she got a lot of responses. She also got a lot of not responses and a lot of blocks and a lot of blue-ticked ghostings. But out of this has come this remarkable book. And as I said, it's already a massive bestseller. So Vanessa Levenstein is here, and she's going to do something we call an inter-review. And it's one of my favorite kind of things to do for a book. And what she's going to do, the review part, she's going to tell us up front a little bit about the book and her experience of reading it. And then she's going to go straight into an interview with Mandy Wiener, the author, to ask some questions about how and why she wrote it. Welcome to the show, Mandy Wiener and Vanessa Levenstein, on behalf of our friends at Exclusive Books. Tell us about The Deal.
Where were you on Election Day in South Africa, May 2024? I was fortunate, which in our political context, our political history, is not a coincidence, to be living in a suburb where the polling station was a block away. I walked over three times, and once the queue had subsided, I stood in line. Now there was a little girl and her tired mother were in front of me. And she, the little girl, not the mother, was rambling on all about her Barbie doll. And that for me was the most memorable part of the day. Now I thought of this while reading The Deal, Inside the Talks That Shaped South Africa by Mandy Wiener, because the lead up to the day, the events of the day, and the aftermath were anything but unmemorable. The book reads like a political thriller. And here I have to pause and say, if you follow the news, are in the know about politics and current affairs, this riveting book, which goes behind the scenes into boardrooms, politicians' bathrooms, and looks at WhatsApp messages, the book is obviously for you. It has all the insights and a wealth of material. But if you're like me, who votes, sees the results, and then does a little bit of a ostrich in the sand routine until the next election, this book is even more for you. Why? Because Mandy Wiener is at heart a storyteller. She writes about people, about the negotiations in a way we can understand because she makes the characters so relatable and we get drawn into the political story because of the people. We start to understand just what it took to form a government of national unity. And while I was reading this book, I thought of this giant jigsaw puzzle. All the parties and players having a piece that needs to fit into the next groove, and a thread that runs through is the image of our president, whom Mandy secured an interview with. How did the author piece it all together? Well, Mandy's joining us over Zoom to explain. Hello, Mandy.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've in your own words described yourself as having this insatiable curiosity. Do you feel that writing this book, you managed to quench that curiosity?
Oh, yes, I do think so. And the way you describe it as a giant jigsaw puzzle is exactly the way that I describe it, because I had to reconstruct a timeline. I was curious about what was going on in these boardrooms, in politicians' homes, behind the scenes, behind the political veil. So I set about interviewing dozens of politicians and trying to reconstruct that timeline, working out where the meetings happened, how long were the meetings, who was in the meeting, were there peppermints on the table, what color was the carpet in the room, what were they eating? And every single piece was like a little jigsaw puzzle. And you mentioned the interview with the president. That for me was the final piece. So I had this full puzzle that I had constructed, and there was this gaping hole of an interview with the president. And literally as this book was about to go to print, I got a message to say he'll do an interview with you the next day. And I felt like that was the final piece of the puzzle, and it was so satisfying.
And that really does link all the different stories together, because there's so much. And you talk about the detail. I was smelling the fresh, magnificent roses. Where was it in the Westcliff, I think, that fancy boardroom.
At the Entobin's home.
Yes.
And the roses that had been sent to Helen Ziller after the president had been elected, these magnificent golden roses, the bouquet that she had received in gratitude. And I really do pay attention to detail like that, because I think it makes the story more vivid. And that meant, you know, it's very different doing an interview for radio and doing an interview for a book. Mm. You have the luxury of being able to ask the detail. What was the weather like that day? Mm. Do you remember what you ate at that particular meeting? Because it really takes people into the room.
And the hem of Helen Ziller's coat having to be threaded up. It's that sort of detail that, as I said, brings you in. You get a feeling for the characters. Talking about the characters, now I'm usually cynical about politicians. But there's a quote by Cyril Ramaphosa, and he says, choosing to challenge the outcome would have weakened democracy. And one does get a sense the politicians and some of the players and the parties in this book do at some stage place the country's agenda before their own. Would this be an accurate assessment?
I was very impressed by how the politicians were committed to the cause, how they were willing to, you know, everyone was exhausted. Siviwe Gwahube from the DA speaks about how she was almost dysfunctional because she was so exhausted at the time, but they had to continue. And the thing that impressed me the most about the politicians was how they were so committed to stability and ensuring that there was a government and what they had to do to meet this deadline. I felt that they did sacrifice themselves. And the meetings that took place, staying awake in the early hours of the morning, making sure that they could get this deal over the line in the interests of the country, that was the one part of the story that I felt was important to get across, because we're so cynical in South Africa. We always assume that our politicians are incompetent and corrupt and incapable. And I think that what this book shows is actually they were pretty capable, and what they achieved was remarkable. If you think about what happened in South Africa, there was a democratic process. It was largely peaceful. The judiciary presided. Law enforcement was in place. There was a rule of law, and we elected a government. There was effectively a peaceful transition of power. It takes other countries 18 months to do that. We did it in 14 days.
One assumes the worst, and reading a book like this, one thinks, ooh, we're being a little bit cynical. And sometimes one does get the best out of people. I loved the humor in the book, the shower scene with Gate and Mackenzie. I mean, you couldn't make that sort of stuff up. It was absolutely hysterical, and I'm not going to tell people about it on air because you actually have to read the book. You have to buy the book to get to Gate and Mackenzie's shower. Mandy, you had to deal with so much. Do you personally use humor as a way of coping?
Oh, yeah. And journalists famously have very dark humor. Mm. So we make terrible jokes about very, very serious things. And I think humor is so important. You need levity. I'm a big believer in light and shade when it comes to the media. I think that, you know, so much of what I do is very serious. And it has to be. We hold power to account. We call out politicians. We speak about crime and corruption and malfeasance and wrongdoing. But I think there needs to be a lightness that goes along with the shade. So for me, it's really important to speak about what I call the hope dealers in South Africa. Mm. It's important to tell lighter stories, to bring humor into it. And even in my keynotes that I do at conferences, people often remark that I'm funnier than they think I should be. because we have to poke fun at ourselves as well. That's the beauty of South Africans, is that we are able to laugh at ourselves.
And you've dedicated your book for all the hope dealers, which is quite beautiful. What was the most challenging part of writing this? And there must have been so many challenges.
Yeah. Getting people to speak to me. Mm. All of these, you know, a lot of these people are cabinet ministers now, and have thrown themselves into their jobs and are exceptionally busy. So getting them to commit to a time, having to find time in their schedules, the logistics of doing that was incredibly difficult. I did not get everyone to speak to me. Some people just blue-ticked me. Other people declined. In the end, I spoke to, 27 politicians that did 100 hours of interviews. So the logistics of it, you know, sometimes you had to go through the official channels, then you had to go through the back channels, then you had to get a businessman who knows someone to speak to somebody or call in a favor with someone. So that, I think, was the biggest challenge, was coordinating that.
Mm. Where to from here, both? Where do you think our government's going to go to from here? And then you, what's your next project? So that's two questions.
So I think that the government of national unity will hold together for the immediate future. I think going into the local government elections, it's going to get very, very messy, and we're going to see all kinds of mudslinging, but I believe the government of national unity will hold together. A lot of it is going to depend on succession in both the ANC and the DA. Who becomes president after Ramaphosa? Does John Steenhuisen stay on at the DA? So I think those are the crucial road signs that we need to pass in South Africa. For me personally, well, this country never ceases to deliver all kinds of content. I am pretty spent after this book. It was a huge amount of work. So I'm not sure. I've been debating writing fiction at this point, or children's fiction, because I just need to change pace, I think, after 7 books.
Wow, and I think you'll be a great fiction writer, because I just finished reading the latest Louise Penny books, and I went straight from Louise Penny into The Deal, and I was thinking, at some stage I was getting confused, what's real, what was fiction? So Yes, we look forward to reading your fiction book. Mandy Wiener, thank you so much.
You know, but I'm not sure that people would believe the fiction, because truth is stranger than fiction in this country.
On that happy note, that funny note, The Deal, Inside the Talks That Shaped South Africa's Future by Mandy Wiener. Thank you. The Deal is published by Pan Macmillan.
Phenomenal. Really. Thank you, Exclusive Books, for bringing us Mandy Wiener. Thank you, Mandy Wiener, for bringing us Mandy Wiener. And good luck with your new release. We are going to be hearing and talking a lot more about this book, because it's a massive one. So I would say, if you're looking for a gift for yourself or for somebody who's into current events, this is a book to really check out. Right, Mzu, is there enough time left for me to tell you what I've just finished reading? I did mention up front that I got a voucher for Exclusive Books, and I bought a book called The Compound by Aisling Rawl. I hope that's the right way to say the author's name. And I tell you what, I absolutely love reality TV. It's a little bit of a guilty pleasure. And The Compound by Aisling Rawl, if that's how you say the author's name, is a reality TV show. So it's a reality TV show in a book. And the premise is that 10 women wake up in a compound in the desert, and sometime later, 9 men will arrive. And they need to couple up and do personal and group challenges, just like they do in reality TV, to win food and possessions. And because they're on a reality TV show, their every move is being filmed. And then obviously, as they do in reality TV, one by one, they slowly get banished from the compound, and then the last person standing is the big winner. So I read it in very much the same way as I watch reality TV. I binged it obsessively. I started it and I didn't put it down until I finished it. I love this book. If you like Love Island or the new reality TV show about traitors, Traitors Island, I think it's called, it's kind of Love Island and Survivor meets Lord of the Flies. So it gets very dark and brutal, and it's an intense study of consumer culture and the madness of the world. I loved it. I can recommend it as a great beach, pool, summer read. And that's our show. We are, as I said, trundling to Christmas and the end of the year. I wish you a peaceful and safe time as we just go over that last bump to get towards the end of the year. I want to thank Mzu Makeata for pulling our show together. I want to thank our sponsors, Exclusive Books. I want to thank Penguin Random House, Pan Macmillan, and the Jonathan Ball team. And I want to thank you, our listener, for lending us your ears and your hearts and your reading minds and coming to listen and see if there are any books here that you're excited about. We're going to play out with Norwegian Wood by Tessa. And until next time, which is 2 weeks from now, I wish you very happy reading.